across, they would be safe. He had never heard any legend or read any account of any Russian crossing this narrow, shifting neck of ice. If it were true that they were being pursued, then the land ahead of them promised safety. Noel was feeling happier. The pony's fetlock was mending, and in the last 24 hours he'd made better time than he had for days. A biting fog had come down from the direction of the icy sea, making progress difficult, but from the fog's salty taste, he guessed that he couldn't be too far off. The dried beef was lasting well. In one of the huts in Uzbarchyk, he'd found some delicious golubtsy and had taken enough to last him weeks. The thought of the food safely wrapped in his bag made him hungry, and he reached in, taking one of the cabbage rolls stuffed with fried turnip and biting voraciously into it. The jolting of the pony made him choke on a mouthful. Cursing at the animal, tugging brutally at the reins, he brought it to a dead stop.
Oh, better.
The fog had drifted away to the south, and visibility was unusually good. He stood in the stirrups, wondering whether he might make out the rest of the Norodniki. Noel had raised the last mouthful of the golubtsy to his lips, when all of a sudden he found himself lying on his back in the trampled snow, staring blankly up at the dull sky. There had been no sense of time passing, no sense of falling, no pain. The only feeling was shock, a sensation that someone had managed to creep up unseen and strike him in the middle of the chest with a huge mallet. He was aware that his feet were kicking and twitching. It felt odd, as though his feet belonged to someone else. With gloves that seemed to be filled with iron, Noel carefully touched the numb center where the hammer blow had come. He suddenly felt very cold. A full 1,400 paces to the southwest, the tall sniper lowered the rifle. The rimmed 7.62mm bullet had done its work. Through the PSO-1 telescopic sight, he'd seen it rip explosively into the target's chest. The man wasn't going to move very far with a wound like that.
Good shooting, Corporal Selamentsov. An extra ration of food this month from the grateful party.
The speaker was about 30, with a long, drooping mustache that hid a pockmarked chin. He stood 5 inches below 6 feet and wore a gray uniform of thick material, with long boots of tanned hide. Removing his high fur cap, which bore a single silver circle at the front, he revealed a totally bald head. The man called Solomensov gave a click of his heels and a sharp bow.
Thank you, Major Zemyanin.
Holster the Dragunov rifle, Corporal. You know what ice can do to the sight. Last time you left it uncovered, the frost cracked the bulb of the reticle lamp.
Yes, Major.
The corporal took the long gun and pulled a cloth shroud over the neat sight.
And send Tracker Aliyev to me.
The tracker was less than 5 feet tall, with the slanted eyes that revealed his heritage. He had the waddling gait of a Mongolian who'd spent most of his life astride a barrel-chested pony. A thick woolen scarf was wrapped about the lower part of his olive-skinned face.
Aliyev, do they still move on toward the sea? Be sure.
The rest of the 100-strong militia unit kept well clear of the tracker. Some of them crossed themselves when they went near him. His skill at scenting the enemy was so developed that there were those who said he was a witch. As he approached the head of the column, past the depression where Solomensov had knelt to fire, he unwound his scarf. The Major Zemyanin had seen him many times. He still fought hard to restrain a shudder. The nukes used by the Americans in this part of once mighty Russia had been awesome in their power. Aliyev came from a family that had always lived near the Kamchatka Peninsula, and his face was the stigma of his background. Most of the lower jaw was missing. Where the nose should have been, there was only a large hole fringed with damp pink tissue like rotting lace. The mouth gaped, with a few yellowed teeth left jutting crookedly from the upper jaw. Aliyev had no way of closing his mouth, and all food had to be sucked into his gullet. Across the dark cavern of his nasal orifice, Aliyev had a veil of crumpled skin as thin as the wing of a moth. It moved raggedly in and out in time with his raucous breathing. To stand close was to inhale the odors from the entrance of hell, as Aliyev only accepted meat that was rotting and crawling with larvae. He would bury his snout in it and devour it ravenously and noisily. Now he dropped to his hands and knees, closing his eyes, laying his nose to the snow, sniffling. The others watched from a distance, each man holding the muzzle of his horse to quiet it. Then, as he had 1,000 times, Semyonin wished that he could be transferred to a militia unit far, far to the west. There they had petroleum in some quantity and trucks. He knew because he had seen pictures of them. Soon, he was told, his cavalry would be given trucks. He had heard it several times from his superiors in the last 3 years. If the party told you something was true, then it was.
Well?
The face turned to him, and he nearly vomited. The brutish head nodded. Aliyev was a wonderful tracker, but he had drawbacks. Apart from the horrific look of the man, he could neither speak nor read or write, which made communication difficult and taught others to avoid unnecessary questions.
The same ones? Yes. How many days gone? 5? 4? 4. Good.
He gestured with a gloved hand for the creature to return to his place in the patrol. 4 days' journey ahead of them, 28 men and women seemed to be preparing to cross the strait and move into what had been America. Zemyonin's heart beat faster in his chest with anticipation. He knew that no unit of the party's militia had ever been this close to the enemy's land. They could not refuse him promotion if he... But this was leaping a wall before he had even mounted his horse. Nobody would applaud the singer just for clearing his throat. But to catch and destroy the band of slaughtering butchers ahead would be very good. He had been trailing Uchitil and his marauders for weeks now, even closing in at times. But if they crossed the ice river, then his band of militia might be seen. Perhaps he should camp for a day. The body of the man they just shot might yield a clue. Semyonin's head was becoming cold, so he replaced his fur cap and walked thoughtfully toward his horse. There was much to think about. Confused, Noel pulled off his gauntlets and again felt the numb patch in the middle of his chest. He felt chilled, but his fingers encountered a sticky, wet warmth. Disbelievingly, he painfully held his hand in front of his eyes. It was dry.